So the reading is from John 14, verses 15 to 27, page 1083 in the Blue Bibles. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas said, But Lord, why do you not intend to show yourself to us? Why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This is the word of God.
I'm Amy, if you don't know me. I am the curate here, here to serve you in whatever way you'd like or God will lead. So today we look at the promise of the Holy Spirit and the unity within that divine community of welcome. Jesus with Father, with Spirit, with each of us. The theme is love. Perhaps that's the theme of every day, if we accept that God is with us. So John's message today is sandwiched by love. In the chapter before, we discover a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you're my children. And in the chapter after, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So the message about God's Spirit is surrounded by love. Love overwhelming, love repetitive, love circular, love within divine community, divine love within our community. Love. Not wishy-washy, I really, really love you, but self-giving, beyond death, beyond all fear, bigger than the stars, bigger than the complexity and simplicity of the blood that flows around our bodies right now. A complete love carries us into understanding John's word to us today. He describes how Jesus at the Last Supper prepares his disciples for his human departure. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit's wonder and power that will abide with them. Jesus promises his own spirit, his own breath, his own inner life, coming to give you all the strength and energy to live for God and witness to the world. Perhaps this is a reflection of what God has been doing since the beginning of creation. Back in Genesis 2, the Lord, he took earth and he formed a man out of the dust and he breathed into his nostrils his own breath, the breath of life. And from that point on, the man becomes living. The Spirit of God, the very breath of God, awakens man from nothingness, from dust, into a day full of love. I wonder, is God doing this with us today? Perhaps he's never stopped breathing through each of us. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. The will of Christ is above all, that we love one another as he has loved us. And by this shall all people know that you are my disciples. Love. If you love Jesus, you'll want to follow him. You'll want to breathe his breath that brings life. Follow his commands. Love God. Love one another. These words came up for us a few times, didn't they? As we listened back in January as a church family. What does loving one another, loving our neighbours, really look like? Well, we're still seeking God on that one. But it is clear that God comes first. We tune into his majesty and attempt to give up our own selfish ambitions and praise alone his holy name. And we'll find that Christ's very own spirit, his breath, his inner life, the word of God, comes and breathes gentleness, kindness, and perseverance deep within our souls. As we make time to sit and listen to him who made us, we find ourselves being transformed by his density. As we gaze upon Jesus Christ as the image of the invisible God, love is kindled in our hearts. And that brilliant, radiant, gorgeous love prompts us to live in obedience. Love is the foundation of obedience, and obedience the pure result of love. And why is this? Because it's actually God doing the longing through us. By his indwelling. His very breath brings us life. He longs for you to discover belonging as his beloved. This is the work of the Spirit organizing us a deep place of belonging through our short lives here on earth. Thomas Merton put it a bit like this: the divine has made us his dwelling on earth. His presence changes us from carnal to spiritual beings. If we sat in this reality a bit, we might have greater confidence in the one hidden who prays within us, even when we ourselves are not able to pray well. Who asks for things we don't even know we need. And who seeks to give us joys we could not dare to seek for ourselves. Let me come to you with a story. Earlier on in my life, I was deeply anxious. I'd moved to Cambridge from a few years in Uganda. And I was praying to God for a good 4 to 6 months. Why am I here in this grumpy country? Why have you done this to me? I don't want to sit in a library. I want to be sitting learning with the wisdom of the Bachiga. How do I make friends when I have to choose between 30 yogurts on the supermarket shelf? The culture shock of coming back to this country was very real for me. And I felt lost, and my actions sometimes spoke of my loss. And then, Valentine's Day, 1998, I secretly sent different cards with very personal messages to everyone on my course, men and women, 8 or 9 different nationalities, fully inclusive process of disruption intended. I left them in the university pigeonholes and I chuckled to myself as I walked off. I wanted to shake up the earnest study, the serious debate, the ambitious mood. It was an action of rebellion and protest, hoping for a community response that enabled laughter, a new lightness of spirit. I craved what I had lost, but I couldn't reinvent it. I had suffered in leaving my African family, and I was annoyed at the new people in my life. Anyhow, sending Valentine's cards was not a sensible move. I was childish, and I hadn't thought through the repercussions. Thankfully, most had guessed that the cards were insincere, as they collected them at the same time of day. However, there was one man who was absent, and he came to his pigeonhole 2 or 3 days later. And he was very excited about the message of love and promise that he found there. He caught up with me and a friend and asked if we knew who the sender might be. Seeing his glee, I was utterly ashamed and I turned blood red with embarrassment. In that moment, he realised the sender was me and he became even happier. I was caught and I couldn't seem to let him down, so I agreed to go for a drink with him with the aim of telling him the truth and letting him down gently. It was excruciating and it was all of my making. However, as I got to know this man, I realised he was kind and honest. He was a gorgeous geek. Can God work through the confused prayers of our hearts? Is the Spirit able to turn our cries for help into a new kind of glory? I think the Spirit gives us joy we might not seek for ourselves and works around and through our failures quite beautifully. So I've been with that man for 20 years now. He turned out to be my husband. And 8 months later, I told him the truth of how we got together. And this man, he has been a gift to me. He's taught me the wonder and the heartache of the world. And he still takes me very literally, which continues to make me laugh and to cry. So we might not see a path, but the Spirit guides us through the lost days we walk. It's not always as we expect or what we might like. But if we look carefully, then we can see her beauty. The intercession of the Spirit in our heart corresponds to the intercession of Jesus in heaven. Both are in accord with the Father. Their inner life revealed by the Spirit in us, besides us, strengthening us, fire to warm ourselves within a deep work of belonging. Shall we review the indwelling of God? Jesus says, "The Father and I will come to make our home with you. You will not be left as orphans. Instead, you will share the very same love which unites the Father and the Son. You will dwell in this love and make it your home. The Spirit will teach you how. And this will be your rule of life, to reflect this love towards each other and towards the community of God. Ultimately, there's no other truth to be discovered than this reality of love, which turns me, a hopeless, lost child, in an instrument of eternal love. Not bad. What else is there to do in my life? So I believe my poor decision making, my failure and my loss can be transformed in the fire of the Spirit's truth telling into astounding beauty. I believe the same for each of you. To be together like this is mind blowing. Sitting here in the simplicity of God's utter love. The Holy Spirit will take care of us. She is our heavenly guardian. I do not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. This is rich comfort. Sitting beside each other in our loss and our lament doesn't eliminate the lament, but it does provide such a comfort so we might carry on through the day. Comfort is the Spirit's work. She is a duvet around our shoulders. She is a sure truth when we have been sitting in a day of trouble. So here, Jesus is inviting us to get caught up in God's presence in the world, to learn how to recognize God within ourselves, in others, in all things. This overwhelming love carries us beyond ourselves and back into the source of all life, back home, if you like. Essentially, in John's words today, Jesus is not telling the disciples to obey rules. Keep my commands. He's inviting them to share his heart. If you love me, you will keep my commands. It's a request of love. All that Jesus did in life was aimed at enticing humankind into falling in love with God. If you love me, you will love what I love. If you love me, you will desire what I desire. The love story is not slushy. It's not a love of Valentine's cards, although it can permeate that too. It's self-giving beauty where we are wooed by our Maker to gain wisdom of the weaving of love and life through all that there is. We are wooed to be expressions of his love. So the pattern is simple and complex and bright and startling through the joys and the horrors of the journey. Why? So that others may grasp the love that is bestowed upon them. So that gently by the Spirit of the Most High, the very breath of God in them is recognized. My advocate, my helper, my encourager, my comfort. Jesus came to live amongst us, God in human form standing with us, so we could really get to grips with what this loving God might like to stand with. Sorry, let me say that again. Jesus came to live amongst us, God in human form standing with us, so we could really get to grips with what this loving God might be like to stand with shoulder to shoulder. Then he introduced us to his Spirit, another paraclete, another of the same kind, that we might become mature revelers in God's love. Comforter, advocate, counselor, helper. The Holy Spirit is specifically said to teach, remind, and testify about Jesus. She deals in truth, offering comfort and joy. She comes to abide, to dwell with us. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The strongest negative in the Greek, I will never, under any circumstances, ever leave nor forsake you. She can be absolutely relied upon to be fundamental reality. No confusion, no deceit, no disillusionment is possible. And truth is also what the Spirit wants from us in our relationship with her. Do not deceive yourself or try to deceive. Just tell the Spirit of our Lord where you are, and she'll comfort and guide you through. No condemnation, just a hand to get us back on track within the divine community. An offer of love and forgiveness and restoration as we humble ourselves afresh. There's a proverb in Kigezi. U'okundu takusherika kigambo. The one who loves you doesn't spare the truth. And you recognize the freedom of this truth. You know her, for she dwells with you. She will be in you, available from within the very breath of God. The Spirit makes Jesus real to his disciples, not focusing on signs or wonders or tongues, but an ever-deepening consciousness of the reality of Jesus Christ, which may bring signs and wonders. But first, let's recognize Jesus Christ, the comfort of truth of Christ within us. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit will remind us and teach us everything Jesus has told us. Like a coach, she leads God's children to follow God's play. She reminds us how to live in relationship with others, how to harmonize with his loving purpose from the now here into eternity. This is abundant life. In preparation for this talk, I asked the Holy Spirit quite sincerely, Spirit of the Most High, how are you today? And I waited in silence, hoping for ancient wisdom. And then I heard what sounded like a tinkle of quiet laughter. And I'm overworked and underpaid. And I coughed with surprise, laughing along with the Spirit at the love in that self-giving, abundant life. To be overworked in love is great joy. To overpay with all that you are brings a new freedom. It's the gospel story. It's light and airy and spacious with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us become a champion over fear. Remember last time I was up here, I repeated almost incessantly, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And to underline this, Jesus speaks with a voice that calmed the storm, the voice which raised Lazarus from the grave, the whisper of truth into your day today. Peace I leave you, and my peace I give you. Jesus is offering deep peace just before his torture and painful death. This is not peace with an absence of suffering. It's something more. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You will weep and mourn. You will be in pain, a pain as fierce as labor pain. In the world you will face tribulation. And Jesus comes in, Shalom. Christ's utter peace exists even in the midst of unsolved problems, increasing human conflict, disease pandemics, and climate crisis. Paul calls it the peace that transcends understanding. Events do not affect this divine peace. It's eternal and internal, not subject to external pressure. So sorry. The one who indwells you is able to handle your problem, your anxiety, your illness. And you are at peace because of that. You do not have to be all upset and bothered. You do not have to be shamed by the stupidity that you yourself have carried out, like my Valentine's ignorance. Christ's peace obliterates shame, guilt, fear of death, even our own self-loathing, our insecurity. Peace is supplied to you. Claim it. Walk in it. Walk in confidence as peace coats you into your day to day. If you're not feeling it, ask the Spirit for a fresh revelation, or maybe come to the back for prayer at the end of the service and ask others to help you ask. The Spirit of promise, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of our Lord, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of all comfort and joy. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If only we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. God is not a God of disorder. And it is to peace that God has called us all. Let us be peacemakers with the Spirit who gives us life. We are a single body. We are so profoundly one in Christ that the peace in the heart of each of us communicates itself mysteriously in an utterly hidden way to the whole church, to all humankind. Can you feel the peace that I hold dear as I stand before you today? I witness to the peace of Jesus that I have lived many years in war zones, both literal and metaphorical. He provides us with a hidden sanctuary of peace. It's up to us to claim it, to practice it, to live in it in the now here. Nowhere do we need to depend on our own strength or our own light. Our eyes are fixed on Christ. So let's rejoice today for the unity that we have here, the Bride of Christ. I'm sure you can witness it as I speak. We are in tune with the Spirit that moves amongst us. She's the one that holds us dear to Christ's teaching, and we turn our hearts to Jesus. This is the very meaning of repentance, to turn and humble ourselves. This is the place of turning back to our home in God. And this is the place where the kingdom of God is near, even today, now here. So that's the challenge to us, holy and beloved, to turn and clothe ourselves in peace, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Clothe yourself in Christ's love. This is a love that binds everything together in total harmony. Where there is disquiet, disharmony, disrespect or disorder, claim the peace of Christ in its transforming power. In her self-giving love, let the peace of Christ alive rule in your heart. Claim that peace given to you today. It is yours. A peace that is born of love, a peace that reminds you today that you are dearly loved. Ask for peace. Okubuza tibushema. Asking is not stupidity. Knowledge comes from questions. Ask for that duvet of peace to cover you, to be very apparent to you as you walk from here. So as I finish, I thought I could share something that might remind us of God's Spirit, God's weighty, perfect peace amongst us. And I'm going to pass around some colour sticks, some glow sticks, that if you crack them by bending them, will begin to glow. And let them represent the peace and the comfort that the Spirit brings to our broken lives. A peace that we can claim today as we break in all kinds of ways before His Majesty. Peace with you. And I think that's nice to, Sheila sent round the BSL Peace With You. I don't know if you saw that, but on Facebook, and it was Peace With You. And in lots of churches, they're going to be learning that as we're not going to be touching each other so much, it seems. So peace with you. As I share around a moment of peace, should we keep the quiet? And you can take a stick if you'd like to or not. And allow God to speak with us through that silence. Is that okay? So let the peace of God, the peace of our Lord, the peace of our Lord Jesus, rule your heart, your mind, your being today and always. And the harmony of His peace carry you into the week ahead. Peace be with you. Amen.
Thank you, Amy, for that wonderful word. So, is where the Holy Spirit is our counselor, comforter, advocate, encourager, and helper. We're not alone in this life. He's always with us. So right now, I just want to encourage you to sit, stand, or whatever you feel comfortable doing as we enter into a period of just reflection and response to God's word.
Eternal.